And it reads, "Be happy, young man, while you are young, and let your hearts give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see. But know that for all of these things, God will bring you to judgment. So then banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body, for youth and vigor are meaningless."
I hope all of you have your Bibles out. If you don't, I'll ask you to get them out. Be turning to 2 Corinthians 4. I appreciate Carter reading those verses from Ecclesiastes. And we're going to look at those verses a little later in our lesson. But we're going to begin in a moment from 2 Corinthians 4. It's great to be back with you. I have been gone for the last couple of services. I was in Bowling Green, Kentucky last week in a weekend meeting. And then Wednesday night I was in Ocala, Florida, preaching in their summer series, which they ended. And my topic was, what do you do when you're going through the motions? So you can expect to hear that lesson from me very shortly. You won't hear it this morning, but you can expect to hear that at some point. It's kind of an interesting topic, but I think it was after I got to looking at it and studying it, I thought it was a very practical lesson, and I hope to present that at some point in time very soon. I do want to mention a couple of things before we begin the lesson in earnest this morning. Remember, Steve and Bob is there in Ethiopia. That's already been mentioned several times. I got a text this morning from Steve. It's kind of amazing that, you know, he's somewhere in Ethiopia today, and he can shoot me a text, and I can get that. And I got that this morning, and he wanted me to tell all of you, first of all, that he missed you, and second of all, that he has updated his blog this morning with some pictures. So, and with just with some things that have been happening over the first few times, weeks that they've been there. So make sure that you check that out if you would. I want to remind you as well of the high school, middle school devotion that's at our house tonight at 7:30. So if you're in high school or middle school, we encourage you very strongly to come and be a part of that. We have several young people from this area who get together every Sunday evening in a different home in this in Temple Terrace. And so we'd encourage all of you who are in middle school and high school to be a part of that tonight at 7:30. We also want to mention that Melinda Hegarty's aunt, Margaret Baker, passed away last night, I believe, and she'd suffered from some bad health. And we want to remember that family in our prayers. That's Noreen McDonald's sister. We want to remember that whole family. So please keep them in your prayers, as well as others that were mentioned. We mentioned some in the announcements, and you notice some in the voice. So please make sure that you keep those in your prayers. Tonight, we're going to have a workshop at 5 p.m. It's going to be just a one-shot thing. We'll all meet in the auditorium, but I want to talk to you about some things that relate to what we're going to talk about this morning. This being the first Sunday of the month, we are going to talk about our theme this morning. We're not going to sing that song quite yet. There we go. But I want you to be turning to 2 Corinthians 4 if you haven't done that. And let's look at some of these verses. We're going to look at this theme verse, or these theme verses that we've used for the course of the year. And I want to start today by reading them again to us. "Therefore we do not lose heart," Paul would say, "even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." I hope that you're not getting tired of these verses. We read these verses a lot. We talk about them a lot. We're going to talk about them again today. And we're going to talk about really some verses that are beyond these in chapter 5. You know, sometimes in Scripture, when we look at certain passages, there are unfortunate man-made breaks. You know, the chapter headings and the chapters and the verses and all that was put in by man to just be able to maneuver through the Scriptures a little bit better. But those breaks sometimes are most unfortunate. And I think such is the case with the passage that we're going to look at today, because we're going to go on to look at 2 Corinthians 5. And I want you to just think about how this fits, these three verses that we talk about from chapter 4. But just think about the continuance of the thought. Let's read these for a moment this morning and look at these. Notice what Paul goes on to say. He says, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has also given the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. I love these verses because they further enhance this whole idea that we're talking about over the course of this year. This idea of being an eternal people that make everyday choices. And because we have a different perspective than the world, we have different results. And I love how these verses just further accentuate that very idea. And I would remind us as we think about this, first of all, that Paul said, we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed. I want you to think with me this morning, how is it that Paul could know? He said, I know. Now I want you to think about that. How could he know? He hadn't experienced that. He couldn't say, listen, I've gone through this and let me tell you about that. You know what we like people who have already experienced something telling us, this is what happens, this is what you're having to go through. Paul said, I know, but yet he didn't know from experience. This hadn't happened to him before. He couldn't say, you know, I've been there and I've done that. He hadn't been there, but yet he was confident that what's going to happen to him, this body that he had, eventually that was going to be transformed. So he didn't know from experience. No one had told him what was going to happen. No one else had experienced either. He couldn't go to someone else and say, listen, I need to write a few things for some folks, and I need you to tell me, after I die, what's going to happen to me? He couldn't say that. Nobody else could say that to him. He didn't figure this out intuitively. It didn't just come to him. What happened to him? I'll tell you what happened to him. The Lord said, this is what's going to happen. How much do you think about the afterlife? You ever think about that? I think that how much we think about it is directly proportionate to how close we think we are to getting there. I think about it more than I did 10 years ago. And I guarantee you that I think about it more than I did when I was 19 years old. I just guarantee you that. Because now several years after 19, I'm starting to think, okay, just in the natural course of things, I'm not going to be alive a whole lot longer. And if there may be some things that happen to me even sooner than that, that are going to create me in the afterlife even sooner. So I think about that. And Paul would think about that. And Paul would talk about these kind of things. And he says, I'm telling you what's going to happen. And the Lord's told me, not because I've done it or experienced it or somebody else has told me, but this is exactly what the Lord says is going to happen. I want to look at these verses a little bit closer this morning. Eternal thinking people. I'm going to use this term, and I'm going to use it accommodatively. We like to talk about death. Now, you may say, well, that's morbid. I don't like talking about death. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. When we know that we're trying to serve and follow God like He intends, then talking about what's going to happen when this body, when I'm transformed from this body into another body, and when I'm separated from this life, when I know that, it changes how I can talk about those things. When I see my mother sometime, and I see her usually about twice a year, it never fails. She and I will be somewhere. A lot of times, you know, we find ourselves looking at old pictures. I like to do that. I like to look. I like to hear her tell me about my family. You know, growing up, what was it like when you were growing up? Tell me about your grandparents. Tell me about my great-grandparents. I love doing that. And I don't know why this is, but it always gets back. Those pictures somehow always get back to her saying to me, now you know, your dad and I are probably not going to live too much longer. Well, you know, I really don't want to hear my mother say that. I'm not too excited about that. But she says, now Ken, don't let that bother you. She calls me Ken. You're welcome to do that too if you'd like. But she says, Ken, don't let that bother you. I said, Mom, it doesn't bother me. I say, I'm very confident. I'm very confident in where you're going to spend eternity, and I pray to God that I'm confident where I'm going to spend eternity. I'm not so much worried about that. And folks, for the Christian, the bad part about death is just separation. That's the bad part. It's that the things right now change. When death comes, separation comes. That bodily person no longer exists in this realm. And that changes things. And that separation is part of why we grieve. But I want to tell you what right now. When my mother, if I'm alive, when my mother or my father pass, I will grieve. I will grieve. That'll be a hard time for me. And I thought about that. Especially when my parents have said, you know, we'd like for you to do our funeral. And I'm thinking, whew, I just don't know if that can happen. Because that's going to be hard for me. But I'm going to tell you what, I don't grieve because I'm concerned about where they're going to spend eternity. I'm grieved because of the separation that takes place. That's the difficulty of death for a child of God. So it's separation that's the difficult thing. But eternal people, eternal thinking people, we long to be clothed with the habitation which is from heaven. That's what Paul would say here in this text. We have a building from God, a house not made with hands. It's eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. This earthly tabernacle, this not permanent, but this temporary body that we have is going to be changed, and we look forward to being clothed at our habitation, which is from heaven. And I want to ask you this morning, do you look forward to that? We, as this passage says in verses 3 and 4, you know, we groan. We groan. We're weak. We have pain. We suffer. We ache. That's the idea when you go back to chapter 4 and verse 16. You talk about practical. When Paul says, we do not lose heart for our outward man is perishing, is there anybody who doesn't get that? That's about as clear as the nose on my face, isn't it? Everybody understands that. We were over at Jacob and Allison Johnson's last night. Several of us were over there, and I just happened to be kind of walking around, and I looked. Allison was in the kitchen. She was standing behind the sink. I'm not going to tell any bad thing about you, Allison. But I looked at her, and she was kind of grimacing. She was kind of going, that's a grimace, isn't it? Doesn't that look like a grimace? That's kind of what she was doing. And so I went on by and I said, Allison, do you hurt? She said, well, kind of. I said, well, what's wrong? She said, well, there's two things. And I'm thinking, only two things? And she began to tell me, you know, about a couple of things that had happened to her. And I thought to myself, that's what happens. You know, she's not as spry as she once was. I hate to tell Jacob that, but that's just the way that is. You know, but if she's just not, I don't mean it's real bad, you understand, but she's not as young as she used to be. She's going to go home and be depressed now the rest of the day. But you know, that happens to all of us, and things happen to me. You know, I did a little outside work yesterday, and I did quite a bit for me. And I got up this morning, and places on my back hurt, and places on my leg hurt, and my head hurt. I mean, there were just a lot of things going on, and it's because that the outward man is perishing. That's the nature of it. But as verse 1 says, that's okay because we look for and we anticipate and we want this building from God, a house not made with hands that's eternal in the heavens. And what's interesting to me is that verse 5 tells us that God, it's God who has prepared this very thing for us. He's given us this, His Holy Spirit, really as a down payment for it. It's an earnest payment. Because God says, you know, I'm going to pay off in full, and it's something that I anticipate. I've never experienced it. I don't anticipate it because it's happened to me before. I said, well, I kind of like that. I think I'd like for that to happen again. I've never experienced death. I've never experienced what happens in the afterlife. But what I see in these passages that we look at it this morning, I think what I see is a natural progression. I want you to think about this with me this morning. Because I think this changes for everybody, and this is part of what we're going to talk about tonight in our workshop. We're going to deal with the different stages in life where each of us are, and we're going to begin to ask ourselves, how far along have I progressed spiritually, and do I see myself changing? That's what really I think these passages are about. This is about transformation. This is about having a new body. This is about getting rid of this old body that does hurt, that does groan, that does suffer, that does have pain. And so the natural progression is this. The outer man decays. And we're all going, yes, it does. But what verse 16 of chapter 4 says, even though our outer man is perishing, yet our inward man is being renewed day by day. And I love this. This is what's happening right now. And while I may be decaying, while my body may be, in essence, declining, which it is, what the natural progression should be for the Christian is, you may be declining physically, but spiritually, you ought to be getting better. And I want to suggest something to every one of us right now. If you can sit there this morning and say, well, that's not happening to me, you've got a serious problem that you need to start correcting. Because I'm going to tell you what, your physical body, those issues aren't going to change. You're not going to wake up one day and go, wow, I feel like I'm 20 again. That's just not going to happen. And if it does, I can promise you it's going to be momentary. That's not going to last long. Probably about the first step or two you take, it's going to change. But I'm saying to you, if you don't wake up every day and you say to yourself, you know, I'm older, but I'm better. I understand. I'm starting to get this picture of what life is all about. If we don't wake up every day as we get older and say, you know, I understand it better. I'm more experienced. I understand what the Lord means by that. I'm looking more forward now to having this new body that I have. If we're not like that, if we're not thinking that way, folks, I want to suggest to you that what ought to be happening is not happening for us. And then finally, I think that this transition between chapter 4, what's said at the end of chapter 4 and the beginning of chapter 5, is really this. Our outward man decays, and there is a part of our, while we live in this realm, this earthly realm, our spiritual selves are becoming renewed. But listen, I'm not what I'm going to be. Those of you who are, and I don't mean this in any kind of bad sense, but those of you who have lived the great majority of your life, who very probably within the next 5 or 10 years will pass from this life if everything naturally happens, I'm telling you, you have an even greater thing to look forward to. You're going to be clothed with a new body. It's going to be a transformed body. It's going to be a spiritual body, and it's different. And what I like about this is this outer man is decaying. This spirit is being renewed in me even today. But then ultimately, everything about me is going to be perfect. It's going to be like God. That's the only way I can be with Him. I'm going to be in a spirit realm. I'm going to have a spiritual body. And His body, or the body that He's going to give me, is going to be exactly a body that will fit His purposes and His very purpose for me eternally. And eternal thinking people like to talk about that right now. I hear people pray, you know, Lord, come quickly. And I believe we mean that. I have no reason to believe that we don't. But would it be okay with you if the Lord came back right now? You okay with that? The reason I ask you that question is because there is a chance that that will happen. There's a chance each and every day that we live that the Lord will come back. And when that happens, those who are His are going to be clothed with that very thing that we're looking for. This full spiritual garment, if you will. Chapter 5 and verse 4 talks about that mortality will be swallowed up by life. And we get so enamored with what happens to us in this life, and we live in this mortal life. This short life that we live will ultimately be swallowed up by real eternal life. And verse 8 would tell us that that's really what Paul wanted. We're confident, yes, well, please, rather to be absent from the body than to be present with the Lord. That's what he wanted. Because he understood that. He lived life, and every day he got up and he did exactly what he needed to do. He began to preach and he began to teach, and he went through hardships. He suffered those hardships, but he really wanted to be with the Lord. And that's what eternal thinking people want too. We want to be with God. Now, let me talk just a moment about these transitions. I think the fact that we're eternal people and we want to be with an eternal God, that's one reason that transitions in life are not only hard, they're hard, but they're necessary. Because every transition's preparing us for the next phase. See, I think as we're getting older, and as our physical body wears out, and as the shift goes from how we feel physically to what we know spiritually, as that shift and transition takes place in our lives, that's preparing us. It's preparing us for us to spend an eternity with a totally different body in a totally different realm, serving an eternal God, because we'll be an eternal people. Now let me make a statement about that. I think that's part of why it's so difficult. And that may be too harsh a term, but I think that's the reason why it's more difficult for young people to understand what we're talking about when we talk about spiritual maturity. You know, when you're 16, 18, 20 years old, and your body is at its prime, you know, from the research that I've done, you're really, 25 is about the peak point that your body's going to be at physically. Now I got everybody depressed who's above 25. I think that happened to me when I was about 13. I think I started going downhill a little earlier than that. But really, when those changes take place, no, but before that, we start feeling good. There's a lot of you here this morning, you're college age, you're high school age, and your body's sound. You may have some few knee, you know, you may have a few problems here and there, but for the most part, your body's pretty sound. And you know, you may think, you know, you own the world. You can do a lot of things. You get out and somebody says, oh, somebody dares you to do something physical, and you say, yes, I can. And the reason because you're stupid and you say, yes, I can, is because your body thinks that it can. And then you go out and do that and you realize, well, my body can't do that. And I shouldn't have said stupid. My mother get on to me for saying that word too. But I'm making my point. Shut up and stupid were two words we never could say at our house. I'm just throwing that out to you. But anyway, when you're young and you feel that way, you're strong and you feel like you own the world, and sometimes you're invincible. Well, what I'm here to tell you is that if you, even as a young person, understand that that will change, you've got a great advantage in life. This passage that Carter read for us a moment ago, rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these God will bring you into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. You know, we got all these college students that are here, and we're really glad to have you. I'll just tell you right now, that just thrills us, and you know, it just gives us a lot of energy. And when I look at you, I remember stuff that I did when I was your age. You know, you talk about these concerts you're going to, and I went. My first concert was Olivia Newton-John. I'll just tell you that right up front. I know that dates me. But I used to think, I'm sure she just met me, she'd fall in love with me. Well, that never worked. Just because we didn't meet, that was the reason it didn't work. But I always thought, you know, there were a lot of things that I did when I was younger. I mean, I did things physically. I could do things then that I can't do now. And I loved life. And I think for the most part that I heeded these admonitions that the wise man said, you know, live your life. Let your heart cheer you in the days of youth. There are some things that are going to happen to you right now, young people, that you're going to be able to do. And not only that you can do, that you ought to do, because you're not going to be able to do them in a few years. That's the nature of who you are. But I will tell you that as a young person, while you're doing it, you better do what the wise man continued to say when he said, you need to remember your Creator while you're young. Because the difficult days were going to come. And the years are going to draw nigh when you say, I have no pleasure in them. The sun and the light and the moon and the stars are not darkened. The cloud did not return after the rain. And he goes on, and I'm not going to take the time to read all that this morning, but things are going to change. And so this perspective of 2 Corinthians 4, and as you maneuver through 2 Corinthians 5, those first 8 verses. But what that really is a transition. And I think as elders, we thought about the theme for this year. You know, we wanted this to affect everybody. And I guarantee it does. It affects those of you who are the youngest to those of you who are the oldest. Because it's all about perspective. And it's all about having this perspective. Now, I will tell you that most of the world just doesn't understand that reasoning. The statements that, and I thought they were outstanding statements that Jared made this morning before we together gathered around the table and partook of the Lord's Supper. basically, not to try to reinvent what he said, but basically he was saying the world just doesn't understand our perspective. That's right. When we tell them we live by faith, we live, as Paul, in Paul's words, we live by faith and not by sight. And to most people that makes no sense. What do you mean you live by faith? You mean, why don't you live by what you know, by what you see? We live by faith and not by sight. And so that's part of this process. Now, in reference to that, I'll just tell you that a non-spiritually minded person just doesn't get that. Most people just don't understand why, and this is the way they might say it, I just don't get why religion is so important to you. You know what they're doing? They're looking at the world through a young person's eyes. They're looking at it from a perspective that says, I don't really understand how all this takes place. So a non-spiritually minded person doesn't get that. That's why in the process of trying to teach the world, we need to help them understand. Listen, and maybe ask some questions like, look at what's happening to you. Look at the problems that you're encountering. Look at the changes that are going on even in your own body. What do you think that's happening? That's happening because that's the way life is. In verse 7, this idea of walking by faith and not by sight is the thing that changes everything in our lives. I will tell you this, if I walked by sight, I would be very discouraged about what's happening to me physically right now. Now, some of that's due to my own negligence. That's true. You're probably sitting there going, yes, that's very true, Kenny, and that is the case. And sometimes I try to help that, and sometimes I don't. Sometimes I get in trouble, and sometimes I don't. But I understand that. How I view this, me walking by faith and not by sight, that changes how I view the sensual. If I'm walking by what I see, the things that affect my senses, folks, if that's all I'm concerned about, it changes how I approach that. If I'm simply walking by what I see, then the things that affect my senses, what I watch, what I feel, what I taste, what I hear, all of those things, if it's all about the perspective that says, this is just about me and I'm walking by sight, then I do whatever I want to do. And that's what's happening in the world. That's what most people do. Most people wake up every day and they do what they want to do. They do what they like to do. They do what makes them feel good. And that's part of why we got so many problems in the world. Because we got people walking by sight, not by faith. But not us, I hope. That's why when difficult circumstances come, that's why when financial difficulties come, that's why when rebellious children come, that's why when death comes, we don't panic. We don't panic. We hurt. But we don't panic because we're looking at all of this in a different way than everybody else. Now, let me make one final point. It's not a blind faith. You know, I haven't decided that I'm going to serve the Lord just because, well, that's just a better alternative to not serving the Lord. That's not it at all. It is a better alternative. But that's not why I've decided to do that. I've decided to, as Jared even mentioned to us, based on absolute truth, I've decided to honor God because that's what He tells me to do. Not because I think that's what's best, although I do, but it's based upon what He's told me. That's what eternal people and eternal thinking people do. So let me ask this question this morning then. Is that your vantage point? When you wake up every morning, are you waking up and are you asking yourself this question, I am thinking long term, I'm thinking eternal people, so how am I going to live my life today? Or are you thinking this way? Today's the day I can live and I can do whatever it is that I want to do. I can help myself. I can do what I want to do. And that's the way I'm going to live. Is that how you're thinking? Well, eternal people look at life differently. If you're a young person this morning, and we have several with us this morning, we have a lot of young people with us who are thinking like eternal thinking people think. That's going to be a great advantage to you. You're going to make a lot better choices. Your life's going to be better. And ultimately, You're going to do exactly what's going to happen to the rest of us. You're going to have a new body. In the spirit realm, it's going to be exactly what God wants you to do. But you're going to be blessed because you've lived even in this life with much better circumstances. You've made much better decisions. And all that starts with thinking about things the right way. I'm glad that we're able to be reminded every month of this great passage, because it kind of keeps helping me put some things in perspective. I can get down. I groan and I suffer and I complain and I whine and I do all the things that are common to mankind. But I always go back to the point is I'm thinking eternally. And I'm grateful for that. Well, if you're here this morning and you need to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ, I would encourage you to do that. You've got to be thinking eternally. If you're a spiritually minded person, think about what the Bible tells you to do and be willing to do that. Believe that Jesus is the Christ. Repent of your sins. Confess His name before men. Be willing to be buried with Him in baptism so that your sins can be washed away. And then get committed to living this way. Get committed to living with an eternal purpose. Follow what He asks you to do. Serve Him. Honor Him. Be who He wants you to be. And let that progression take you right on to heaven. That's what all of us want, isn't it? There may be somebody here this morning that needs that, that wants that. Please let us help you by making it known by coming forward as we stand and as we sing.
Please be seated.